18:6, saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. Thank you. That's a good word for me.
Amen.
I like to be in God's hand. Being in God's hand, I can't come out of it. Amen. Who can say amen?
I'm excited tonight. I'll tell you, I really am.
I saw a lively crowd again today. But I'm excited. I'm excited because the Lord is good.
Amen.
The Lord is real.
Amen.
The Lord speaks. The Lord guides. Oh, there's so many things to say about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brothers, He's good. And we need to praise Him.
Amen.
We are His hands. We are everything of His. You're not your own. You're bought with a price.
Amen.
And so am I. I praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Amen.
Get out of that little bit of starch, you know. Let's loosen up a little bit. Brother King K's about ready to throw me out. I love you, brother.
Get loose.
Amen. Amen. Well, you want me to get that loose. You know, this church, I want to recognize you, each and every one of you, if I can. You're a faithful bunch. You're a faithful bunch, and I'm not saying this for any other motive, but maybe one. I'm gonna bring a message that has to do with self-examination. The reason I want to tell you is that you've been tell you this is because you've been a testimony to me. You've been faithful. You've been just a blessing. Good to see you back there, Arlene. Praise the Lord. All of you brethren you're a real group. You know, I think about somebody came up and told me, gave me some recognition, and it was a blessing. And I said, you know what? But you guys are a tough bunch. It's hard to really bring a message that's going to inspire you guys. And I hope I can do that tonight. But brothers, you know, you guys are real. You guys are, you know, we have our off days, on days, and all and so forth, but you guys are real. And I want you to know that I'm not here as a judge of you. I'm not here to judge you. I don't know your heart like you don't know my heart. Matter of fact, what I don't know for sure 100%, except what I can believe and trust in the Lord, exactly you when it comes about me or anybody else, we don't know. And I want you to understand that I'm not here to put any doubt upon anybody, especially some young Christian that's getting a hold of this grace of God. I'm not here to make anybody doubt, not here to make myself better than anybody else. All I want to do is that you would examine who you are. Are you a son of God? You've been faithful. You've proven it to me, as far as I'm concerned, that you're a son of God. But are you a son of God? Are you saved? Are you born again? Let's open the Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I want to verify or make clear that this message, I hope, is for your edification, not for your destruction. In the day and age that we live in, I don't know about other ages. I'm not a historian. I'm not major in history. I hadn't read a whole bunch of history. But I know in this day and age, the days that I've lived, many say they believe in God. Many believe in God. Let's read verse 19 of James 2. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
Right.
Thou believest that there is one God, good. Good for you. But the devils do too.
Right.
You know, this is something that you need to examine yourself with. Of course, I've gone through it, and I believe you have too. But there's some people in here that have not been born again. You know, you believe in God, just like majority of the people believe in God. We're convinced that this didn't come out of some explosion, out of nothing. And here we are, all this intelligence that we have, all this technology, all the things we see, not just what's here on earth, but just looking at that blue sky, looking at those clouds, how they can form up and even become a tremendous storm. I mean, we can see the stars from far away. We know that this didn't come out of some explosion of some sort. This is a great creator that did all this, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. God has done all this. But there's a problem. There's a problem. I think 90% of all the United States Americans believe in God. They believe in God. You talk to the Catholic, he believes in God. You talk to the Mormon, he believes in God. And we know they don't believe the same. It's not the same God, because the doctrines aren't the same. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe in God. The drug addicts down there in Mexico and the ones up here believe in God. They believe in God so much, according to the way they believe, that they'll go to the priest and pay him so much in confession of their sins, of what they've done, that they might hear from the priest, "You're forgiven." That's their way of believing in God. But you say you believe in God too. The devils believe in God. The devils believe in God because the devil was from the beginning. Over there in Isaiah 14:12 it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Isaiah 14:12. The devil was from the beginning. He's convinced that God is real. He's convinced that God is real, and he is God. You're convinced by what you've seen, what he's proven to you. But you know that's not enough. To believe in God and what you see, that's what the majority of the people, that's how they believe. I have family members that believe in God, but they can't say without a shadow of doubt that they're going to heaven when they die. They don't know that their sins are forgiven. They don't know they're saved. You know, the doctrine, many believe, the devil believes the doctrine. The Bible says that he transforms himself into an apostle of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. He believes the doctrine of grace so much that he's invented a doctrine of works. He knows the doctrine just like you know the doctrine. Understand me, I'm not here to cast doubt on nobody. But you know, he knows the doctrine of grace. That's why he lifts up false prophets. To teach something else. He knows the doctrine. You might know the doctrine. Knowing the doctrine is good. Because that's how one becomes saved. By knowing the doctrine. That Jesus came to die for our sins. He's buried, and the third day he rose again. He shed his blood for us. I mean, this is something that the devil, he hates. You know, remember when Peter himself said, "You know, Lord, no, don't let this happen to you." What did the Lord tell him? I think he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For you don't savor the things that be of God, but of men." You know? But he called him Satan. Why? Because the devil really, you know, we say, well, yeah, the devil, he did his work there. But you know what? When the Lord told him that, he was rebuking Peter, you know, as the devil himself, not wanting the Lord to be crucified for us. What I want to say in short is the devils believe the doctrine of grace. And this to me has been proven. I've heard people come up to me and say, "Yes, it's by grace, it's by faith, it's by the death of Jesus and his resurrection and all that." But then I say, "But are you saved?" They say, "Well, no." I say, "No." They believe it. They can repeat it. You know, this is true. This is the way it is. You can believe the doctrine in your own way, but not like it says in Romans. Let's go there. Romans 6. Many believe in God. The devil himself believe in God. He says in Romans 6, But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. You have obeyed from the heart. You know, what is it obeying from the heart? It's believing with your heart. It's also not just believing with your heart, it's having an obedience, like it says there, believing it and obeying it, but you obey to where you have a true repentance in your life. I hope I can get that out clear enough. In other words, many believe the doctrine, but they haven't believed it with their heart to cause them to have a true repentance in their lives. And that's bottom line. You know, the Bible says that many have done many wonderful works in my name. But he says, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. He says, the Bible also says that some come to pervert the gospel of Christ because he believes the doctrine of Christ. He believes it so much that he hates it so much because he doesn't want anybody. He doesn't want anybody bowing down to the Lord and receiving the Lord. But yet, when he does that, he's receiving glory unto himself. He's saying, "Oh yeah, I snatched one more. Oh yeah, I got one more. He's following me still." He hates the doctrine of Christ. He knows the doctrine of Christ. You might know the doctrine of Christ, brother, but you know, like we say down there in Mexico, you might be like a perico. You just know how to repeat.
Right.
You know, like the bird that I guess it's a parrot that knows how to repeat what you teach him. Many are like that. You know, brothers, I want you to know, and I say this for each and every one of us, you could even be born in a good, sound Christian home and not be saved. You could just be following the train of the Christians before you. You know, like I say, you examine yourself. I don't know you. You know, you could be a son or daughter of a missionary. And that doesn't. You can know the doctrine. You could heard it all your life, and you have. You have that. Sometimes you even express it that you despise the doctrine, or you despise hearing it over and over and over again. But you know it. You know it by heart. You know it. You've heard it. You play church. You've gone on with the role of the Christian. Now I'm just saying, I don't know your heart. But if that's your case, you're believing like the devil believes. Because that's how the devil believes. Took me a while to learn the doctrine of Christ. Not just to learn it, but to believe it in the heart. I say it took me a while because I guess I was full of iniquity. I don't know what it was, but finally one day God put the hammer and says, broken. Now. Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. I knew a day when I came into God's hand.
Amen.
I remember that one time that Brother Dave Jones preached a message. And that message had me at the end examining myself. You know what I did? I went home and I looked up in the Bible and said, Lord, give me a verse. Give me something. Speak to me. I don't have assurance here. That's true what the preacher said. That's true. And I open it up in 1 John 5:14, I believe it is. If we ask anything according to His will, and if we know that He heareth us, we have the petitions that we so ask of Him. Something along that line. And I said, wow, that's it. Saved. For sure. And yet, brothers, I'm not here to put myself before you and say, this is my case. But that's God wants you to have an experience with Him.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the Bible's clear. He says that wheat will grow and so will the tares. The devil knows so much of the truth of God's doctrine and his plan of salvation that he hates it so much, he'll plant tares. He says, don't take them out. Let them grow so you won't take out the good wheat. But you know what? There, God wants you saved. Because you're occupying space. And I'm not saying this to run anybody out the door. I'm telling you, this is a church. This is a church that is looking for people, not just numbers and people, but people that are saved and people that will bring fruit and glory to God's name. God wants you tares to become true fruit. Don't believe like the devil believes. Don't believe like Joe Blow along the street, or the Muslim believes in his God, or say, or whoever it might be. Believe the doctrine of Christ, to believe the doctrine of God with your heart. Believe it. I can't make you believe. I can't make you believe. I can tell you this is your only hope. I mean, you can, like I said a while ago, and I don't have anything about anybody being raised in a Christian family. I wish I was, but it wasn't my case. But I don't want anybody, not even those in my own family or in your family, to go to hell just knowing how to repeat a doctrine. That's just bottom line. I have to give account of what I preach. Yes, before you, but before Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you have to give account of what you believe and what you've received. What is your life? You have to give account of that. Yeah, pay attention. Yeah, don't get distracted. Maybe it's hitting home. I don't know. But let me tell you, you need to examine yourself. Are you a follower of somebody else's belief? And just that? Are you just a parrot? Or are you true? Are you real? Are you saved?
Amen.
Do you know this? Have you had that experience with God? Have you? I didn't come here looking at each and one of you. I'm saying, you know, saying this. I'm, you know, no. God lays this on the heart.
Right.
After I'm out of this, I'm going to pray, go on my way, and hope God continues working in your heart. But I'm going to still receive you as brother and sister. And I expect you to do, me too. But if you don't, ni modo, like they say on air. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded without a shadow of doubt. And I thank the Lord. He does that. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And if that ain't true, we're all damned.
Right.
But it's true. We're not all damned. We're not all damned. Jesus Christ saves.
Amen.
Muhammad does not save. Buddha does not save.
Right.
Your religion does not save. You can call yourself Baptist, and I love you, brother. Baptist if you're saved. But if you just a Baptist to be Baptist and not born again, you're lost and on the road to hell.
Right.
Matthew 21. True repentance. True belief in God produces true repentance. I gave an example over there in Toluca recently to this one man I've given studies to. I said, to try to make it simple for him, because he's not really, you know, he's been banged on the head, you know, as a taxi driver, been mugged a couple times. So I had to come as simple as I could with him. Repentance is like this. You know, you're in your taxi, and you decide, or someone says, hey, I want to go to Metepec, which is a little town right outside of Toluca. I want to go to Metepec, but then you start taking that person to Metepec. All of a sudden, the person in Metepec says, no, you know what? I want to go downtown instead, Toluca. So he returns and goes to Toluca. What did that person do in a taxi? He repented. He was going one way, and he repented to go another way. True salvation brings true repentance. You know, we talk about besetting sins and struggles, and yes, this is for every Christian. Oh, I wish I could have victory over my besetting sins. I mean, 100%. By God's grace, as you get closer, Lord, or older than the Lord, or whatever it might be, keep faithful to the Lord, God will give you strength over those sins. I guarantee you. You won't get complete victory over these things, but you'll get a lot of victory. You'll be able to say no and no and no. You'll be right on track. But it's this. Yes, we'll have these things. But true repentance looks at your sin just as it is. Dirty, filthy, no good. It's not. It might appear good. It might even give you a sensation or whatever it might be for time. Sin for a season. It has its pleasure for a season. But if you're truly repentant, you'll know that stuff is what burns you. That stuff is what hurts you. That stuff is what stunts you. Amen. True repentance says, I got to stay away from that.
Amen.
Temptation comes, I got to say no. True repentance says no to sin.
That's right.
Amen. Not that you'll be perfect, but no to sin. You would have had a true repentance. Just like it says here, Matthew 21:28. Well, what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. And it goes on. One said he would, and didn't go. The other one said, I won't go, and went to work in his father's vineyard. Which one repented, truly repented? The one that at first said he wasn't going to go, but then he went. True repentance causes a change in life.
Amen.
You could be here today, tonight, like another Roman Catholic.
Right.
In other words, because your mama has you here, because your daddy has you here. Because that's how my dad and mom believed. Are you saved? Or have you believed? Do you have the same belief as the devil believes? And you're still a child of the devil? True belief in the Lord produces true love for God's people.
Right.
Okay, we're going to bring it home now. We're going to bring a little bit home now. You need to love. If you truly believe in the Lord, you'll love even the worst of them.
That's right.
Even the one that might shrug the shoulders at you and never talk to you or shake your hand. You know, in here I can see right now there's all walks of life.
Yeah.
I see a cowboy over here. We're in Texas, right? Got a cowboy over here, Mr. Don Dalross. Got a hippie back there, but he's serving the Lord. Got a Puerto Rican up here. Huh? Got a hick over there. Oh, Randy. Not you, Bill. Working around you. I think you got the hick out of you by being in Mexico long enough. I love hicks too, man. I love hicks. I've worked with them long enough here in Texas. Mexican American. We gotta love them all.
That's right.
Yeah, you might not get along with everybody as we know the same, but if you love God,
amen,
if you have the true belief, you'll love your brother.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
Look what it says, 1 John 3. If you hate your brother, there's no light in you, the Bible says. Can you look past the color of the skin? Can you look past his smelly being or her smelly being? Can you get? Can you look past that this person ain't as intelligent, isn't it? Amen. I know where I fit. Ain't as intelligent as some of your other friends. You know? Remember Brother Dave Jones? He was a blessing, man.
Amen.
He showed me a lot. That man back there showed me a lot. And you need something. Well, this is another subject, man. But you know what? We need to love each other. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 3. 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And let's see, I think it's 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Amen.
He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Murder. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Oh, we get frustrated at each other sometimes. Oh, yeah, I know. I know, I'm just like you. But I love you. And I know you. Many of you love me. Do you love your brother? True belief in the Lord loves his brother. Doesn't hate him. If you hate your brother, if there's somebody you despise, you need to examine your heart. You need to examine it. Put that old magnifying glass down there and say, oh, do I have the love of God in me? Huh? Has Jesus saved me? Don't look to your right or to your left.
Right.
Don't look at your brother's failure. Hey, we all can fail. Yeah, I can fail you one day, a day, and you can fail me. Brian knows that. Never answers my emails. Nor John. Just kidding. No, he does. He's a real good brother, that. But you know what? Failure will have. But do you constantly hate somebody? Yeah, I know you was brought up one way. You say, well, brother, this isn't the way I was brought up. Well, get over it. You're Christian now. I mean, didn't you get saved? Did you become a new creature? Praise the Lord, I did. I might not always show it, express it, but I know. And I hope you know. True belief in God brings faithfulness. Say, well, Roland, you can preach that because you're a missionary. You're always serving the Lord. Well, sometimes I don't always serve the Lord, brother. I want to. I mean, I do my best. Try to do my best. Faithfulness, sometimes you can't be faithful because of circumstances in life. I understand that. You know, I believe that. I know there's many. I heard a testimony this morning, a man that wants to be what God wants to be. He can't always because he has to work. He has to support his family. But he makes an effort to be there. I remember when I was a truck driver, at the beginning, I was probably the worst. This morning I had to get rebuked for coming in late. Again, I used to always come in late. We used to live on the northeast side of town, and I'd wait till that half hour. It took about a half hour more or less to get here, and I'd boom all the way across the Highway 410. They did have 1604 back then, but it wasn't built like it was now. But I'd press it, and I'd still come in late. I should have just went about 5 minutes earlier. I tried to be faithful, but it never worked. And this morning, well, I came in late. So, I got to talk to myself about this. I'm telling you. But what about you? Are you faithful? Hey, man, yeah, you're laughing back there, but you got a problem with faithfulness, too. Come on, now. We're perfect, ain't we? No, we ain't perfect. But faith, God, when you have true belief in God, it produces faithfulness. Look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1. It says in verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To our saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus. You know, I see this. I see some, you know, some of these brothers, you know, they're not always hunky-dory over me, you know, whatever, but they're faithful. Hunky-dory? Is that a word? Is that an American word? I've been on the field 11 years, more or less. Well, I got excuses. They're probably not valid. But that's all right. What was I saying? But I probably need to leave that one alone anyway. Faithfulness. Yes. Faithfulness. Look at chapter 4, right there in Colossians. All my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, he shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Faithful brothers, faithful ministers. There's four faithful ministers here. Two of them that I know, three of them, come off the mission field, and they're still serving the Lord. That's a lesson for me if I ever have to come back. That's not my plan. And then there's a missionary that's come back, and he's been faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
Don't see him tonight. Something happened, but...
Nursery.
Brother Adrian. My brother's an example. Taught me how to play the guitar. I think I taught him a few things. I don't know. He taught me how to pray. Amen. Amen. He did. You know, brother, you and I get in arguments, or you and I, John, get in arguments. We don't even talk about it no more. Because you're getting out of the way. Okay, cool. But you know, it's not to make Adrian better than you guys. But you know what Adrian would do? He says, come on, brother, let's go pray.
Amen.
Let's pray. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. And then let's pray.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Arlene. That's a good brother. These are two good brothers, too. Don't get me wrong. They just got a different path, different way. But that's okay. Not tonight. Not tonight, brother. Well, if you preach, I'm already gone out the door. I got to go home. Or what is my home for right now? I think we're going to work on that now. True service. If you believe in the Lord, apart from being faithful, you'll have true service. You'll be hospitable. Someone said today about when these brothers come in from somewhere else and they don't have a place to stay. Down there in Mexico, our example that the brother used is that when someone comes in from somewhere else, they almost fight in a good way. Fight to see who's going to have that person stay at their house. I have a place to stay, maybe not in every house, but in a lot of houses when I go to Mexico. And I don't say that for me, but what about when someone visits from outside? All right, is everybody, hey, no, I want this family to stay with us tonight. Hospitable. Huh? Hospitable. No, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go for us. What you worried about it for? Aren't you God's property or your own property? Don't you want a blessing? Or do you want to instead say no or complain or no, I don't know what? Oh, he has to sleep in my room. Oh, that happens. It happens. You know how I know? I've done it. But you know what I'm trying to learn to do? Is you shut the mouth and change the attitude. And say, this is for unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Faithfulness. I'm sorry, faithfulness. Hospitality. Service. Service. Be willing to go out and preach. Service. I'm not preaching a work salvation here. I'm talking about the fruit that's produced. Like James is so over there in James, he's trying to express. Look, you say you believe? Well, prove it. Don't you say it, or we'll have you over one day, brother, you and your family. I don't know what day, maybe in your mansion over there in glory. Oh, come on in. Woo! Look at my mansion. How about now? Won't you let me look at your house? Won't you let them look at your house? You're a bunch of guys. I'm going to be careful. You might jump on me. I'm not that tall like Dave Jones. I'm having fun. But let me tell you, you guys need to, show somebody else.
That's right.
Amen.
That you're a person of service. Like I was going to say a while ago, there's not everybody's overjoyed with our presence, but they're faithful to give. We see those that list and say, oh, look at that brother, he's still going. He's still giving. That sister. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Some of you don't even give. You're hindering the gospel. I just want you to know that.
Right.
You're hurting the missionary. I want you to know that.
Right.
Yeah. You leave it there, that's just extra. And I can get more on it, but that's just extra. You're hurting the Lord. Just that one woman, like Joy was saying, that alabaster box, that she just all over the Lord's feet. All she had. Some of us, like Linda says, we're sitting on our own hearts. We're sitting on our hearts. That billfold. You've heard it over and over again, right? All right, Linda, I'll leave your messages alone. Service. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. True belief in the Lord, it's not one that says, it's one that says and does. Let's go to Matthew 13. Excuse me. It says in verse 27, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, dost thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will send the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in abundance to burn them, but gather the wheat. God's work. Tares do hinder God's work. Taking up space, we want the tares to become wheat. We want them to be saved. We don't want you to believe like the devils. We want you to be saved. Let's go to Acts 13. Acts 13. I'm sorry, yeah, Acts 13, that's right. An example of this sorcerer, how he hindered the work, and I'll end with this. That some truly, truly are hindering the work, like this sorcerer did. Acts 13, verse 6, it says, and when they had gone through the isles unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Elymas the sorcerer, what did he do? He was seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. I don't think there's anybody that I know of in this congregation that's trying this actually, in an actual way, to turn somebody from the faith. There might be, I don't know. But how about you that discourage maybe the young people and say, it's not worth going out there with the preachers. You know, that one young person could help somebody come to the Lord. Maybe another young person out there. You know, you got to be careful with what you say. Turning some from the faith. How about you that God's been dealing with to serve Him as a missionary and you won't go? You know what you're doing? You're turning some from the faith. You know, like the message that was, one message that was shared this morning, that the verse was, "Why should I cease this work to come down to you?" That phrase stuck to my mind. You know, we're not down in Mexico right now. And I hope there's some missionaries down there doing God's work. But the work had to cease for us to come here. As I came out, John stayed. The work didn't cease, at least for one person preaching out there. Now John's out, and there's nobody there, at least as far as we know. What I'm getting at is, you could be one more person on the field. God's doing a work over there in Toluca. He's doing something, and He's going to, just like He did in your heart, just like was shared this morning, earlier. Are you turning some from the faith by not being faithful in your giving, in your prayers? Are you turning some from the faith for not being faithful to not meet, not being punctual maybe? You're causing somebody else to take your example and to do the same thing maybe. You know, it's like that. It's a domino effect.
Right.
But your faithfulness might inspire another young person, an older person, to be faithful to. And so forth. Are you turning some away from the faith by not giving of yourself? I don't know who you are, but maybe God's dealing with you. And if God told you to let go and let God, what you waiting on?
Right.
He's taking care of us to this day. He's proven Himself. And you shouldn't live by emotion or by sight. Just trust God. He knows what's best. Just like with the kids. They said, "Well, what are you going to do with your kids being so young?" Well, they're growing and about ready to go. Hope they choose right. But he didn't have them starve. They're no dummies. My kids aren't dummies. You might think that, but I know they're not. They're sharp. I just pray you continue on, kids. But you know what? We need not turn nobody from the faith. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we need your grace. Lord, I know the devil doesn't like these thoughts and some of the things that were shared tonight. And he's out to discourage. And even some that heard your word tonight, they might doubt of their own salvation. I pray you give them assurance. Lord, we just pray also that you would work, that you'd help us to do our part in this work, whatever it might be, that you'd be glorified and that others would come to know the faith of thee, the saving faith. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The fact-